I want to thank our praise team for the third song we sang today about praising for the goodness of God. The director of one of the mission organizations that we had a member that worked with it, that we supported, was captured by the Taliban in Afghanistan. And for 3 days, as he marched through the hills of Afghanistan, he kept repeating and singing that song. One or two of the Taliban understood English and could not understand how he could do that. And on the fifth night, he was retrieved by SEAL Team Number 5 and brought back to the United States. We can also, like him, be grateful for the goodness of God. 50-some years ago, Fellowship Bible Church was started by a group of ladies who wanted to learn more about the Bible, and so they started a Bible study. And it grew. And the husbands wanted to be a part of it. And so they called a pastor, Bill Walker, who had just retired as the executive secretary of the Central American Mission, where he had spent his life. And Fellowship didn't start off with 12 stones, we started off with 2. That we wanted to learn what God's Word had to say. And we were going to support the Great Commission. And our very first missionary that we supported was a young lady by the name of Margaret Dawson. Now, we as a church believe in meeting all of the needs of our missionaries, and so we supplied a husband. His name was Harold Baker, and you probably now know them as Meg and Harold Baker, the very first missionaries that we supported. You have been given a list of the missionaries that we as a church have supported over 50 years, and local ministries and short-term mission trips. And we heard this morning about certain times we have done in humanitarian aid because it was necessary to feed their bellies in order for them to be able to listen. So it's important in our time together today to understand why the stones. When Joshua was leading the people of Israel into the promised land, God told him to make an Ebenezer. That's Tom Perry's favorite word. I've always thought it was a memorial to what God has done. And so today we are looking at what God has done through 35 missionaries, through 5 mission organizations, through short-term mission trips in the States and abroad. And let's go to the Lord to thank Him for what He has done. Loving Father, we truly come before You humbled and grateful for what You have done. And You've allowed us to peek behind the curtain into the Holy of Holies as we've had the opportunity to watch You change the world. And we're so grateful. We don't deserve it, but we're so grateful. We thank You for these missionaries. We thank You for what they have accomplished. We thank You for the children that You have brought into the kingdom. Lives changed. Directions corrected. thank you. You gave us a great commission because you were serious about us going into the entire world to preach the gospel. And Lord, we pray that we would be as faithful over the next 50 years as we've been over the last. We thank you for leaders that have always led us in studying your word and in the Great Commission. We thank you for people who have been willing not only to give but to go, to understand the missionaries by having been there. We've even had a couple that went to Indonesia to eat grub worms because that's what they needed to do. And we're grateful. And Lord, as we learn more today about what you're doing across the world that you're allowing us glimpses of and to be a part of, we pray that we not forget it by the time we leave the restaurant today, but that we keep it in our heart forevermore. We also pray for the needs of our loved ones within this church that are dealing with grief, who are dealing with sick ones, who are too weak to be with us today. We pray that you be with them as well, because you told us to bring all of our cares to you, and we do it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Are you going to do? Throughout our time, we've also had the opportunity to be involved in the Jesus Film Project of Campus Crusade for Christ, now known as CRU. They have to change things. And one of the things we wanted to share before the kids left the auditorium was a clip from a film. Bill, are you going to introduce it, or am I to do that? There you are. No. We're going to leave it to the right guy. Okay. It's the story of Jesus through the eyes of children, and it's really pretty good.
This is the true story of a man named Jesus who lived 2,000 years ago. We don't know exactly how children found out the truth about Jesus, but it might have happened something like this.
I really think Jesus was sent by God.
Just because he performs miracles, it could all be magic tricks.
Yeah, how else could you explain it?
That's the thing, Joel. I don't have to explain it. Miracles are wonderful things only God can do.
You mean like helping blind people see again?
Yeah.
I don't believe one word of this.
I do.
Sarah, what are you doing here?
I forgot to feed my donkey. And when I heard you talking about Jesus, I wanted to know what you were saying.
What would you know about Jesus?
I know a lot. My grandmother knows his mother, Mary, and she told me all about him, how he was born and everything. It's a great story, really. Mary was a young girl living in Nazareth. She wasn't married, but she was supposed to marry a man named Joseph. One day, God sent an angel named Gabriel.
Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus.
How can this be? I am a virgin.
The Holy Spirit will come upon you. For this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of the Most High God. His kingdom will never end.
Did the angel scare Mary?
If an angel came and talked to me, I'd be really scared.
What happened next?
Some of you know what happened next, but now is the time to dismiss the kids to their time of kids worship. And kids, the whole reason is that you can now ask your parents to see the rest of the movie later. But let's take the kids out to their time of worship upstairs. That's fifth grade and younger. And Bill's going to be right back up here in a minute to share with us a little bit more about just the way Fellowship Bible Church has gotten to participate in the ministry of the Jesus Film over the years. But while the kids are making their way out, Larry referenced this sheet with 35 different missionaries. Currently, we support 13, but throughout the church's history, there's been 35 total, and there's some other organizations and mission trips listed. This is available in the lobby if you didn't get one of those on the way in. This is our annual missions conference that you are all a part of this morning. So thank you for joining us on live stream. I'll speak to the live stream for a minute to say we will be cutting off the live stream before the end of the service today. If you're on live stream, you'll be with us for the majority of the service, but the last 15 minutes or so is going to be cut off in the midst of a couple of videos, because the last two videos we'll show this morning have some sensitive information that doesn't need to be broadcast online. But you in the building, you'll see it. So when we do that, I'll come up and say good day to those of you on live stream, and we'll continue on in person here. But a few things coming up in the life of the church. We have our kids or our family Easter exploration on Friday night. You can sign up for that on the church app Friday night, March 22nd. That's this coming Friday. Sign up as a family to participate. That's not an event where you drop your kids off and your kids participate. It's something for you to do as a family. You can ask Rika any questions, or there's more information on the church app to sign up. Also, on Saturday, we have a men's breakfast. You can sign up for that on the app. And then next week begins Holy Week. And so a week from today, next Sunday, is Palm Sunday. Easter is 2 weeks from today. And the week of Easter, there's always going to be a lot of good events as we participate in extra opportunities to worship our risen Savior on that essential weekend where we celebrate the resurrection. And so on Friday night, we'll celebrate the cross, and we'll be here for a communion service in this room at 6 o'clock on Friday night, Good Friday. And then on Saturday, we'll have a Seder that will be in the backstage, and Carol McFarland is going to come and share a little bit. You can come on up and just share us with us a little bit more about why we do the Seder and what the beauty of it is.
Real quick, for those who don't know me, I was brought up in a Jewish family, so I celebrated Passover through all my ages growing up, and it was a special time for me. Once I became a believer, it was amazing to see how Christ was evident all through the Passover service, and yet I'd never seen him, and that is still true today. In fact, Passover is, I say this wrong every time, the longest ancient traditional meal in the history of the human race, 3,500 years. And what Passover celebrates is the goodness of God, his deliverance of his people from slavery towards the promised land. And then 3,500 years after that, we see deliverance from sin as we prepare for a promised land through Christ, our Passover lamb. So come, bring your family, bring your friends. It's made for kids. 7 o'clock Saturday night. Sign up online or call the church. Thank you. Yeah,
thanks, Carol. And let me just say, I've got to participate with Jim and Carol in leadership of the Seder a couple times. And the way Carol weaves in her testimonies of growing up in a Jewish family into the Seder supper is just a great way of shining a light on Christ through this traditional practice, and seeing the way Christ is in the Old Testament in the book of Hebrews. It's a great time to see the beauty of the cross in this weekend. Let me just say, we use the word Seder meal, Seder supper. It is not a full meal. And so the goal is, you know, if you're bringing your family, bring your kids, bring everyone. It's a multi-generational thing, but you're going to want to eat beforehand, because it's not going to be much food that you're going to eat at that meal. And then on Sunday morning, sunrise, Easter morning, we will be at Grace Presbyterian Church on their campus for a four-church sunrise service with Grace Presbyterian, Doug Gap Baptist across the street, and Christ Reformed Baptist a little bit farther north on Doug Gap. Four Doug Gap area churches joining together that morning for worship, and we'd love to have you there. Now, before Bill comes up, I'm going to give you a little bit more information about what we're doing this weekend. Over here, you'll see what has been constructed so far. If you saw the flyer for the missions conference last week, you saw that our theme is 12 stones. And when the nation of Israel crossed over the Jordan River, they formed an altar of remembrance, an Ebenezer, a 12-stone pile that was a memorial pile, and each tribe grabbed a stone to remember the provision of God as they entered into the promised land. And so what we're doing is over the course of our 50-year church history, for 45 of those, we've had an incredible opportunity to sponsor regular missionaries. But as Larry told you from the beginning, for all 50 years, this church has had a heartbeat for the Great Commission, for world missions. And so far this weekend, we've already constructed a portion of the Ebenezer with different stones yesterday morning and then this morning during the Sunday school hour, and we'll have a few more that are added to that pile this morning. And the first one for this morning's service is the way the story of the Jesus Film Ministry and Fellowship Bible Church have interacted over the last number of years through the ministry of Bill Sims. So Bill, I'm going to give you the floor back.
Good morning. I don't ever play my guitar. If y'all were in my living room, I'd be real comfortable. This song was introduced to me by Susan Curtis about 45 years ago at Fellowship, and it haunts me. Let me see this world, dear Lord, as though I were looking through your eyes. A world where men don't know you, Lord, but a world for which you died. Let me kneel with you in the garden, blur my eyes with tears of agony. For if once I could see this world the way you see, I just know I'd serve you more faithfully. Let me see this world, dear Lord, through your eyes, as men mocked your holy name, as they beat you, and as they spat upon you, Lord, let me love them as you love them just the same. Let me stand high above my petty problems and grieve for men held bound eternally. For if once I could see this world the way you see, I just know that I'd serve you more faithfully, I just know that I'd serve you, I just know that I'd serve you, I just know that I'd serve you more faithfully. I was reminded by Gladys, my dear sister in the Lord, younger sister in the Lord, yesterday of when she gave a story of her reaching out
to the fire department near her and making a casserole and saying how these guys were lifeguards from hell, and how that we are lifeguards from hell. These guys keep people safe. They go run into the fire. They run into emergencies. They go to help people on call all the time. And that's what that song says to me. Lord, am I on call all the time? But back to the kids' story. I loved all the stories that we were hearing about yesterday. They talked about the mission trip, short-term mission trip to Burkina Faso, and about how the young people who were on that trip acted out Bible stories and how all the Fulani loved it and how they were excited about it and how as they were getting ready to leave, they were followed by this group of men and they were a little nervous about how that was going to go. Were they in trouble? And these guys were coming to them to say, please come back again and tell us more stories. So one of the stories I love so much is I was talking with some folks who gave the funds to help do this children's version of the Jesus film. They live in North Augusta, South Carolina. So I was with them, and they were telling me the story of how their grandchildren had watched the story of Jesus for children probably 50 times. She said, they were over at my house today, and they watched it twice. And she said, the other day, we were having a family dinner, and the kids said after dinner, we want to do a play. We want to play Mary and the Angel. So the older little girl was the angel, and the littlest, smallest girl was Mary. So they went away and came back with their towels on their heads and all that kind of stuff. So the oldest little girl said, as the angel, and that which is born of you will be called the Son of God. And the little girl said, as Mary, how can this be? For I am allergic. So there are some cross-cultural issues that that all missionaries have to deal with. But so anyway, I am excited about the role that God has given me through Campus Crusade and through the Jesus film for 51 years now. One of the things that I'm excited about is that last year, as a for instance, 600 million people saw the Jesus film or one of the adaptations, the story of Jesus for children or Magdalena. Just in ways that we can count, 13,475,390 people indicated that they decided to follow Christ watching the film. 146,228 new churches were established. And over in 117 countries, we were able to, through our church's involvement and many, many people that are support the Jesus film around the United States, were able to give 16,094 sets of equipment, like you see back there on that back shelf back there. That's 25 pounds. The one I used to have was 40 pounds. 40 pounds weighs more than it used to, I've discovered. 25 pounds weighs a lot more like 40 pounds, it seems like. But I was at Renew Outreach in Atlanta a couple of months ago now, and the new package is about this big and weighs 9 pounds and contains everything that 25-pound pack has. So God is using technology, using creative people, using techie people. So young people, you don't have to just go like Margaret Stringer or myself or the Joyces overseas, even though if God calls you, you should go. But there's so many ways you can invest in the fulfillment of the Great Commission through the gifts and talents that God has uniquely given you. So I wanted to talk a little bit. Also, last year, one of the founding director of the Jesus film, Paul Eshelman, went to be with Jesus. And Paul used to say, if I could choose any time in the world in which to live, I would choose right now, because there are so many opportunities to take the gospel to the world. The interesting thing is, Paul didn't get to choose, I didn't get to choose, you didn't get to choose, God chose for us to be alive during this time, for such a time as this, to take the gospel to the world. Last year, let me jump ahead. So One of the other stories we heard yesterday was about the Tausug version of the Jesus film, which was done by Seymour and Lois Ashley, missionaries from our church, Judy Fleet's mom and dad. And she was telling how they went to the premiere of the Jesus film in the Philippines, and one of the little girls came up to her mom and with excitement in her voice said, "Mom, Jesus speaks Tausug." Well, I've heard that story many, many times over the 50 years that I've been with Crusade and the last 45 years or so with the Jesus film. And of course, Jesus speaks every language, every heart language. But the Jesus film is now in 2,143 languages and counting. We add a new language about every 3 or 4 days. So they're in a pipeline of being completed, but they're completed about every 3 or 4 days. Our missionaries, the Seymours, spent 27 years developing the New Testament for the Tausug. The Jesus film was done, and because of their work on the Jesus film, now the Magdalena version has also been done, and all of those versions are available on the Jesus film app, which are on telephones, which people there can see even if they can't read. So that's exciting. So many ways that fellowship has invested in and through the Jesus film over the years. Other languages that we have done, in addition to Tausug, we did the Northern Khmer and the Kwi languages for Thailand. We helped to distribute DVDs and at one time VHS copies and CDs of the Jesus film in those languages. We also helped to provide the Northern Khmer version for Cambodia, which is different from Thailand. Another thing that we helped to sponsor was film teams for Nigeria. We did the Hausa language for South Africa, did the Old Testament introduction and close. Now, what that is we had the Jesus film in Hausa for a number of years, but it was a little difficult for them to understand the context because they didn't know the story. So they didn't know the Old Testament, they didn't know the New Testament as well. So we developed an introduction which starts with Genesis, starts with the creation, goes to the garden, goes to the fall, goes to Abraham, goes to the promise of Messiah. And then it says, could Jesus be the promised Messiah? And then it shows the Jesus film, and then it goes back and recaps and closes and gives people an opportunity to trust Christ. So I'm excited about that. That has continues. All of these films continue to bear fruit. So once they're done, they're being used not only by Campus Crusade, but by many other ministries. As a matter of fact, many of the other translations are done because other ministries request them. So I think one of the things that I'm most excited about with the Jesus film, with the partnership that we at Fellowship have with the Jesus film, is the partnerships we have with over 1,800 other mission organizations that use the products that we have, that God has given us stewardship of. The thing I love most is that Jesus film gives it away because of your generosity and the generosity of others like yourselves. I asked one of our directors this past year how much of the budget of Campus Crusade, of Jesus film, goes to other ministries. He said, "Bill, it's probably 75%. So that really encourages me as well. One of the partnerships that I think is the most telling, it's probably that they have followed a strategy that has worked so significantly for 26 years, is the Nazarene Partnership. They have themselves sponsored and funded 1,166 teams in 67 countries using 212 translations. They have seen 93,160,102 people who have seen the Jesus film or one of the adaptations. 19,096,681 have prayed to receive Christ. 9,364 and 111 discipleship groups have been formed. and they planted 134,979 new churches. Now, this is a small denomination here in the United States, but overseas it has great reach, much of it because of the partnership with the Jesus Film. Louis Bussell, who's the director of their ministry, of their outreach ministry overseas for many, many years, came to us and said, can you help us? And they would come to our events and they would tell stories like, we've been fishing for years, we fished with a hook and a line, then we fished with a net. But when we started working with the Jesus Film, it was like fishing with dynamite. So that's happening across the board as many ministries are even changing their strategies of how to reach people because the Jesus Film has become such an integral part of what they're doing. Let me think here. Want to watch our time. Another thing that encourages me is that not only is the Jesus Film providing equipment for other ministries, we're also training other ministries in how to do translations, how to record the languages. YWAM is one of our large partners, and YWAM has its own in the Solomon Islands and in New Guinea and other places. They have like a tiny house on a float, on a boat, that is an entire recording studio, and they can go into an area and record generally a one-person narration version, a storytelling version of the Jesus Film in 2 or 3 weeks after they have the script. So it's been exciting to see how that's worked as well. One of the reasons I wanted to show the clip about the Jesus Film for children early, and I do encourage you, if you have kids at home, it's on the app. If you don't have a copy, there are copies back there on the table of the Jesus Film. Show the kids that film. It is such an encouragement. It is such a great way to communicate the gospel. It's a great way for your kids to communicate the gospel with their friends, to invite them over, have a popcorn, and watch a movie. But I just learned here of late that you see a picture of the Klotok or Lotok in Indonesia that we helped to provide. We raised $15,000 in like 1985, when that was $15,000, to build that boat, and it's been used for many, many years. I hope it still survived, but it would be a 40-something-year-old boat at this time. But anyway, so we were able to provide that as well. But with the kids, I learned the other day that over half the world's population is under 30. In parts of the world, Africa, Latin America, and Asia, the median age is 14 to 19. So we, along with other ministries, have been looking for new ways in order to communicate the gospel in a younger, more media-sophisticated culture. And we've been praying about this for a long time. It's already begun. But I want you to see something that very few people have seen. It is on the horizon. It is something we're trusting God to enable us to accomplish. We're looking at a target date of Christmas 2025. So let me direct your attention to the screen, and I hope you'll be excited like I am about this new tool.
Hi, my name is Dominic Carolla. I'm the director of The Animated Story of Jesus. I'm also the owner of Premise Entertainment. Premise Entertainment is an independent, artist-driven animation studio. I came out of the Walt Disney Feature Animation Company, and the goal was really to launch an independent animation studio that can really focus on substantive and very purposeful projects. When we talk about quality and we talk about team members, I cannot stress enough the phenomenal dream team that has literally come together for this project.
People that have worked at Disney, at Pixar, at DreamWorks, working on movies such as, you know, Disney's The Lion King, Mulan, Toy Story, even some of the live action films like Star Wars films, Pirates of the Caribbean. We literally have people from Hollywood coming out of the woodwork saying, hey, I want to hear more about that.
We feel like our careers have led up to this moment. everything we know about filmmaking, everything we know about animation, has led us to this point in time.
I can't say how different it is than any other film I've worked on. It's just, it's not a film. It's something else. It's a labor of love.
What we're doing as artists, this is our worship. The work of our hands is our worship, is our offering to the Lord.
And this film is gonna deliver for the kingdom and deliver for Christ in a way that no other film and no other project will ever do.
We have great archaeologists, theologians working with us. So down to the color of the fabrics they used at that time, the locations based on archaeological data and factual data.
The beautiful thing about it is, in animation, we can hone into things that are more globally receptive.
We can rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, first century Jerusalem, and it will look just like it looked.
Animation is an art form. Really, you can go to the middle of Africa, or you can go to, you know, Manhattan, New York City, and young people will resonate with animation.
We know we're making a film for theatrical release in 2025, but we're creating assets that we'll be able to use and mold and apply into those, you know, realities of AR, VR, the metaverse. Because again, how we consume media today, I promise you, will not be how we consume media 5 years from now, and certainly 10 years from now.
In the beginning, God created. If we're gonna reflect his image, we're creators. That's what God was and is and was first described as creator. And if we're in the image of Christ, we need to be little creators.
Everybody's playing a part. I'm playing a part, you're playing a part. Everybody's playing a part. We're showing up, we're doing our role, we're offering what we have.
We just thank you for the opportunity to share the animated story of Jesus with you, and we're excited for the future and excited about working together to lift up the name of Jesus.
We have to also thank all those that came before us. We wouldn't be here for those that have given their lives for this project. Thank you, because we need to honor them as well. This isn't replacing the Jesus film. This is building upon it.
Our job is to lift up the name of Christ, period.
That's pretty exciting, isn't it? It's so great. I was down there last week with producer and directors and our executive director of Jesus Film, Josh Newell. And hearing these guys talk and seeing tears well up in their eyes, they're so excited to invest the talent that God has given them in something that'll count for eternity. So I would encourage you, as you think about it, to think about your kids, your grandkids, and you think about the state of the world, just to pray that God will enable us to complete this by 2025, and that it'll be premiered in 31 countries at one time. But then it means that we will have the assets through all the other 2,143 languages of the Jesus film to ultimately put that animated version into every one of those languages, should the Lord tarry. But again, just thank you for your support for Wimberly and I and our family over the past 51 years. Because of your investment in the ministry God has called us particularly to, you have literally an ability to touch the entire world because of the projects that have been developed through the generous giving of many people like yourselves who sponsor and support and pray for the Jesus film. So thank you very much. Glad to add another stone here.
Thank you, Bill. Our next stone, we're going to see a video talking about our support for ministry for the last 35 years. In 1989, Romania was under the communist control led by a guy named Nicolae Ceaușescu. The communism in Romania was known for being different from communism in the other parts of the Eastern Bloc in China and Russia, because it was particularly cruel and harsh. Well, at the end of 1989, there was a revolution in Romania. Ceaușescu was deposed, and the communist wall fell there. Well, in the beginning of 1989, a fellow who was a pastor of a church in Gadsden, Alabama, connected with us, and he was going to Eastern Europe to train people, share the gospel, and it ended up that he ended up in Romania. We didn't know where he was going at first because it was too hazardous to let that be well known. And so Jerry Wells went there he was in place just about 9 months before the wall, before the revolution occurred. Christianity was allowed then to be shared in the open. And three pastors who we currently support, Emi Kura, Donnie Grian, and Mihai Kahler, were teenagers when this happened. So you're going to hear Jerry Wells talk about his time in Romania, followed by a sharing of Emi of what he remembered when the revolution occurred. So the video's come now.
My name is Jerry Wells, and I am a missionary. I was 28 years in Romania with In Trust. The name of our mission is In Trust. That comes actually from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. You see in that key verse, our key word. Paul said to Timothy, the things that you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, the same in trust, there it is, the same in trust to faithful men who will also be able to teach others. In Trust is all about training leaders. Our motto is multiplying leaders for multiplying churches. God called me to be a missionary clandestinely in communist Romania in 1988. My job when I moved in was to keep a low profile, to learn the language, to get to know some Lord's Army leaders, and to begin to work with some small groups. How did I find the church, the Evangelical Church of Romania, when I moved in? Though oppressed by communism and limited in Bibles and Christian literature, they were committed deeply to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were willing to sacrifice. They were eager to learn. They were eager to be trained. Then in 1989, the impossible became possible. Just about a year and a half after I moved in, a revolution came, and God brought freedom to Romania. The West poured in, the good and the bad, the helpful and the unhelpful. I'm glad to say that Fellowship Bible Church in Dalton was part of the good, part of the helpful. You had learned about the need for Bibles in Romania. You had learned about the Lord's Army needing copies of their hymnals. The Lord's Army is an evangelical renewal movement within the Romanian Orthodox Church. And there were great needs. You saw those needs. You had 1,800 hymnals for the Lord's Army printed up and shipped to Romania. You procured 1,800 Romanian Bibles and had them delivered to Romania, and you gave a huge contribution toward the building of the Lord's Army building in Cluj. Let me just say again to you as a church, thank you. Thank you for your part in supporting the Lord's Army and the Church of Romania. We in Trust tried to capitalize on the freedoms that came with the revolution. We, of course, began to do our training openly, as I had done it secretly prior to that. We were involved in groups across the country, but in the mid-1990s, I had a key leaders group that I concentrated on. There were nine. Jesus had 12, I had nine. And these men I worked with intensively over a period of years to enable them to become the leaders of trainers in that country and to carry on our training. Three Pentecostal pastors, six Lord's Army leaders, and they're going ahead today with that same work. During this period, the Lord's Army also became a missionary sending church. In 1991, Lili and Niku Bokaniala were commissioned by the Cluj Lord's Army to go as missionaries to Chisinau, Moldova. Now, 32 years later, they're still serving the Lord there. In between, Niku's brother Aurel and I made a lot of trips into Moldova. We worked with their leaders there to help equip them and train them. When the new millennium came, the year 2000, my training seemed to take a shift. I began to concentrate more on consulting, mentoring, and specialty training. The Romanians themselves were teaching our courses in small groups. They were training leaders at that level, but Al, Mark, my missionary co-workers and I, we did seminars and specialty training along with mentoring. We were working more at that time with Baptist Pentecostals, independent churches, and brethren churches. Wonderful times with brothers in various denominations. Also during that same period, my ministry branched out in the direction of countries close to Romania, Bulgaria, Serbia, and Ukraine. So thankful to have been a part of what God is doing in Ukraine right now in times of great hardship, even though my part was very small. Thank you for what you're doing both in Romania and in Ukraine. Now in the year 2016, I found myself, having gone as a missionary single man with a wife and two teenage Romanian American daughters. We came back to America. We wanted to put our daughters into a couple years of high school before American college, and my missionary had been completed. The work had been indigenized. So I'm grateful to God that I can look back and see an indigenized ministry in Romania, maybe something of the same in the neighboring countries, and multiple generations of training that are extending to the third and fourth and beyond generations. And I'm also grateful that we have left behind in Romania a missionary sending church. The Lord's Army sent missionaries. The Pentecostals have developed a burgeoning missionary society. They have missionaries, I think over 50 individuals or families in some of the more difficult mission fields of the world. And you at Fellowship have had a part in all of this. Thank you for what you've done. God bless you.
Hi there. I'm so glad to greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and to say a few things about what was very special for me when I was about 15 years. What I have in my hand here is a hymn book, and actually this is another version of the hymn book you printed and put together and assembled to be a gift from your church to Romanian worshipers. Actually, this has a different cover, different shape, but this 2,000 songs that are in were the same songs you printed. So, yeah, it was so interesting. Even now, when I keep this book in my hand, I have a kind of nostalgia, and I feel that it is an enormous gift. Yeah, you know, that time to have such a book, it was considered that you have something very special. You were rich if you would own one. So even now, when I am looking at this, I feel that we were part of something special singing these songs. It was more than a book that we were reading or singing from. It was a sense of unity between us. And it was something that we were part of something big. We were together with the author who was writing these songs and these verses. You probably know that Trandors stayed for 17 years in prison, and most of these songs were written in that time. So we were part of something big because, you know, many, many people paid with their freedom to sing these songs. So we were thinking about all of these things, and we realized that it was a miracle to hold these books in our hands, because it was not very easy to have such kind of literature. So the Bible and these kind of books were the only Christian literature we had. So when I am thinking about this experience, I just want to say a big thank you for what you did, your sacrifice that will not forgotten by God, and we will not forget this. And I have a special place in my heart for these books. Even now, with a lot of technology, when I'm looking at this book, I feel something special. So I want to thank you for your dedication, for your sacrifice, and I want to say God bless you, and please remember that was a real gift for us then and even now. May God bless you.
So the work in Romania is our 10th stone. You know, we could not have imagined when we were part of Jerry Wells' support team going to Romania of what would result. But God knew, and he allowed us to be a part of that. It wasn't anything that we did. We were just kind of following Henry Blackaby's advice. Look for where God's working and join him. And that's exactly what we did. This is the cover of the hymn book that we had put together. We had printed and put together in the basement of our old building. And like Jerry said, we had 1,800 of them. We also bought 1,800 Bibles. And Emmy didn't say it right here, but in my talk with him, I found out that the first Bible that he got, he was 15 years old. He never had one before because they really weren't available in communist Romania. So we just want to praise God and thank him and remember what he did in Romania and allowed us to be a part of. Okay, coming up next is the 11th stone, and that is what the part that we had in helping establish a school for refugees in South Asia, Afghan refugees. And so to kind of explain what had happened, we've got Dilip Joseph is going to share He was he's the one who wrote a book, Captured by the Taliban, like Tim told us about, and he was rescued by a SEAL team. So let's listen to Dilip.
Greetings, FBC. I am representing one of your partner organizations in Central Asia. Back in 2016, we had this amazing opportunity to partner with you guys to start a refugee high school in South Asia, where a lot of these families were coming from Central Asia. Being in a very large city in the most populated country in South Asia comes with its own challenges. But even with our humble beginnings, with about 45 students in the school, we have been able to see God's hand upon this project, especially with the ability to stand with partners like you. Teaching students from a culture where they haven't been used to sitting for a very long time and struggle with discipline and comprehension, especially in a new medium of education, different from their mother tongue, was also very challenging. But with very dedicated teachers, one of whom actually came out of FBC, we've been able to really invest into the lives of these young leaders with our vision of empowering up-and-coming leaders to turn around and commit to empower their own communities. COVID, of course, brought its own challenges, especially when students struggled to sit inside for too long. And we've had to come up with creative ways of still taking them out and giving them some opportunities to play and grow with interactions outside of the classroom as well. Another thing we've been able to do are these leadership seminars and retreats where we once again get the students out of their classroom conventional settings and really challenge them to think outside of the box and the mindset, especially to use biblical principles, given that most of them subscribe to a different way of thinking. These are great opportunities to expand their young developing minds to ask challenging questions, which are usually not allowed within their existing worldview. One other opportunity we've been so proud of is to partner with a local church. One of the elders, who was a prolific artist, decided to take on 20 of our students and take them through an art sort of class for nearly 6 months. And what came out of that was an amazing opportunity for these children to really shine very brightly, to express themselves in a way that they wouldn't in a classroom, and even sell their artwork to local art lovers. And that was also a great way to partner with one of the local churches that continue to partner with us in this venture of the Bridges Academy. Once again, thank you for allowing us, as Matthew 5:16 talks about, shine our light so bright that others can see our good works and glorify God in heaven. The vision has always been to reflect God's glory, even through any of the projects that we've had the amazing opportunity to partner with others like FBC, so that in communities like this that would otherwise never have the opportunity to hear the greatest story ever told, can be told not only in a conventional way, but in some settings very emphatically, that would make a transformational change in the lives of not only these students, but also in many cases, their families. So thank you for who you are, not only praying and giving, but also sending your own to partner with organizations like ours. We would not be able to do what we do if it wasn't for partnerships like the one with FBC. All blessings and prayers over all of you.
So before Tim comes up, I had forgotten to do this earlier, but I want to ask Gladys Hillman to stand up. She's a missionary, 50 years with Crusade and on college campuses down in Atlanta, started at AUC, and she's now branched out to other campuses. And I'm going to put the next stone on as the video continues.
Yeah, we've got one more video related to this part of the conference, this stone, but I'm going to say goodbye to those on the live stream right now, because the next two videos that we'll show have some sensitive material we don't want to broadcast online. So thank you for joining us on the live stream. And now we'll have the...